Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for you and your family, a time to open the Bible and see what God has to say to us through His Word. Enrico Caruso, the great Italian operatic star, was once asked to sing at a benefit engagement. He was told that since he was donating his services, he would not be expected to do his best. It was suggested that he sing some number that required little effort or skill. The great singer drew himself up proudly and said, "Caruso never does less than his best." We'll be looking at Romans chapter 12 in just a few moments. We're urged to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. Surely this speaks of giving our very best to the Lord. We're continuing our studies in the Epistle to the Romans, and we're glad that you've tuned our way. As a guideline, we're using one of the Emmaus correspondence courses. If you're interested in studying this course at home, please write to us. Our address is given in the closing minutes of each program. Now lesson 10, titled, Love Fulfills the Law, which is page 1 of that particular lesson. We now come to what is known as the practical portion of the Epistle to the Romans. The earlier chapters have revealed what God has done for us. Now we learn how we should respond to Him. In Romans chapters 12 and 13, we learn the answers to the great question, how should Christians behave? There are a number of obligations which rest on those who have been saved by grace. Consecration to God is the first of these. Let's open our Bibles to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul writes, "I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. These are certainly among the most important verses in the epistle. Let's be sure that we get the message. As Paul considers all that God has done as revealed in the previous chapters, he feels impelled to make a very strong appeal to his readers. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. The mercies of God to the sinner saved by grace leave him with only one reasonable conclusion. If God has done all this for me, then I must give my body to Him. If Christ died for me, the least I can do is to live for Him. The poet puts it this way, "O Christ, thy bleeding hands and feet, thy sacrifice for me, each wound, each tear, demands my life, a sacrifice for thee." It was C.T. Studd who said, "If Jesus Christ is God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him." And Isaac Watts wrote the now familiar lines, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all." These words are true. In fact, one of the greatest contradictions in the universe is a Christian who lives to please himself rather than the Lord who bought him. Our lives should be yielded to Him moment by moment so that He can use us in whatever way He pleases. Yes, He deserves our very best. Let's pause right here for some music. Let's read over again in our Bibles Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Thank you. are listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. An unconscious man had been in a severe accident and was brought to the hospital. The doctor who took off his shirt noticed the name Jesus tattooed across the patient's chest. Someone standing by commented, "I wonder if it's deeper than the skin." The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 is calling for a deep commitment to Christ. He's also urging his readers not to be conformed to the world. Here's a paraphrase of Romans 12:2. "And do not be molded according to the pattern of this wicked world, but be transformed by an entirely new attitude of mind, so that you may prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in your lives." We mentioned this before, but we'd like to mention it again, that with the correspondence course that we're studying at this time comes a paraphrase of the book. The paraphrase is included at the end of each lesson. If you're interested in this course, write to us this week. Our address will be given at the close of the program. So Paul is urging us to be different. Instead of thinking like the world does, we should look at them the way God sees them. After all, it was the world that crucified our Savior, and so we should be separated from it in all our thoughts and ways. As we thus yield our bodies to God and renew our minds by thinking His thoughts, we will come to know what His good and acceptable and perfect will is for us. Then our lives will be really counting for eternity. Humility in the exercise of gifts is another obligation. It has been noted that the Romans had no word in their language for humility. However, everything we have has been given to us from above. Therefore, we should not be proud of any special abilities we may have. We should simply seek to use them for His glory. Romans 12:3, and again from the paraphrase, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. "For I say, through the favor that has been shown to me, to everyone among you, that you should not have an exaggerated idea of your own importance, but you should think sensibly, taking into consideration the particular abilities which God has given to you." Also, love to other Christians is demanded of believers. Our love should be sincere, pure, unselfish, and kind. The Apostle Paul goes on to write that love to our persecutors is expected of us. The Christian should not seek revenge, but leave the matter of judgment to the Lord. I saw a bumper sticker recently. It read something like this: "I don't get angry, I just get even." That should not be our attitude. The best policy is to repay persecution with kindness. Turning now to Romans 13, let's read the first verse. Romans 13:1. "Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Since the civil powers are ordained by God, the child of God should be obedient, not just for fear of punishment, but for conscience' sake. Of course, the believer's first loyalty is to God, and he should not let any government compel him to do anything that would be contrary to the Word of God. However, in matters of paying taxes and customs, the Christian has definite obligations to the government. Love to one's neighbor is a Christian obligation. This is a debt we owe to all men. Romans 12:9-10. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. "Let me look on the crowd as my Savior did, till my eyes with tears grow dim. Let me view with pity the wandering sheep, and love them for love of Him." watchful waiting for the Lord's return also marks out the believer. Everything we do should be judged by the possibility of His coming. The twofold secret of Christian living is to first put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, be so occupied with Him and so anxious to please Him that others will see Him in you. Second, make no provision for the flesh. Refuse its promptings and passions. Do not cater to it or trifle with it. Good advice. Now it's time to close our books. I'd like to remind you that it's also time to do another exam and mail it to the address indicated on your lessons. In our next class, we'll be looking at the problem that some have with eating certain foods or observing certain religious days. Remember, if you have a question, a comment, or just want to write a letter, you can be sure that we will appreciate hearing from you. Our address will be given in just a few moments. Make it your habit to listen regularly to the Emmaus Bible Hour.